tsunami's back, bitches.
Took you long enough.
This has been an experience we will never forget.
This ain't no time to go all mushy.
Don't lecture me. I've waited long enough.
Hey, everyone, and welcome to episode 83 of the Tsunami Escape Podcast. I'm Greg Zeno. Tonight we have B-Dubs.
Hello.
C-Caller.
Hey, guys.
And it's BB Boy 20.
Tendenovskia.
What?
I think he just cursed us.
I think you tried to sound cool, but failed. There's no news this week, so let's go straight into Dragon Ball Super. Dragon Ball Super Episode 43, Goku's energy is out of control, the struggle to look after Pan. I love Dad Piccolo.
I know, right?
Grandpa Piccolo is the best grandpa. It shouldn't be that adorable, but it is.
Yeah, somebody was right in the thread. They said that Piccolo really is, like, the best parent on this show.
Straight up.
Yeah. Luckily, Gohan learned all his parenting from Piccolo and not Goku.
And his species reproduces asexually, so how the fuck?
Yeah, well, you know.
Because they don't have two separate sexes, it's like every Namekian is like a great parent.
I mean, they have to be. Yeah. They only got one, so you know.
They don't like divvy up responsibilities, they all have to do it.
So in this episode, Goku has some sort of weird, I can't do energy disease, and he can't do shit.
Yeah, he pulled also, a key muscle.
Yep. Also, it's revealed that Pan inherited Gohan's ultimate genes and is going to be the strongest baby in the universe.
Oh my god, if we're basing it on... Jesus Christ, Pan. At this point, it's clear that apparently the more you dilute that Saiyan blood, the stronger they get.
I think it's just the combination of Gohan and Videl because, like, he's probably got the most potential out of all the Saiyans, and Videl is quite possibly the strongest regular human.
Except for,
I mean, she has. They've all been like trained, you know, and look how many years it took them to learn how to fly and shit. She learned in like 20 minutes.
I kind of see where you're going with this, but I tend to agree more with Grex that like Pan is like 1/4 Saiyan, and yet it seems like every generation that gets removed, they get stronger for some reason.
Part of that is just that, of course, that's how it goes. Are they going to get weaker?
Yeah. I mean, I looked away from the episode for a minute, and then I looked back, and I saw Pan, like, flying in space. And I actually wasn't even sure if that was really happening or if that was, like, a dream sequence or something.
No, Pan can fly. She inherited Gohan's ultimate form. Apparently, that is something that can be passed down.
Crazy.
Batman's in that lineage somewhere. I'm Batman, and I can breathe in space. And apparently so can the Pilaf gang. Who were super dead if anyone found out about this.
Oh yeah, no, they were not going to survive if Piccolo found out.
They were Steely Dan dead.
Oh yes.
Yeah, I like them. I know that they're stupid and like goofy comic relief, but I don't know, they're kind of entertaining too.
Yeah.
Next week, we get a whole 3-episode arc of Trunks, Goten, and Monaka. Aren't you excited?
So excited.
Excitement.
Shoot me now.
Wait, we haven't even gotten to that show yet.
You did overlook a couple of funny things in this episode. Like, Ariel showed up.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
From Dr. Slump, right?
Right. Mm-hmm. For like 5 seconds.
And she is canonically the strongest person in the world.
Really?
Yes. Huh.
Wasn't she like a robot or something?
I have no idea.
I think she
But apparently she can just... I think at some point she just punches the earth in half and, you know.
Well, she has gag manga powers, so...
Yeah.
Right. Right. She's
It's like how, you know, one Saitama is the strongest dude in the world because that's the joke. He can one punch everything because that's the joke.
Someone was wearing her hat at PSX. It's like with a shot of someone in the audience wearing her hat.
That's cool.
I'm not overly surprised.
There was also a scene, too, where when Goku's powers were messed up. By the way, I just want to say that his whole, like, ki disease or whatever he had is, like, the most fillery crap I've ever heard.
Oh, no, I have ki disease. I can't do anything for a filler episode.
Right. Like, conveniently gets solved. Anyway, when he's trying to use his powers and he's messing everything up, and then he, like, instant transmits into, like, Bulma's hotel room when she's showering.
Into her actual house.
Or it's her house, yeah. And the Vegeta walks in and he's like, what the hell are you doing?
I'm surprised they didn't just straight up go at it right there.
I know.
Like Vegeta instantly goes Super Saiyan Blue.
I am a little surprised that didn't happen too, but, you know, whatever. It might have been the shock.
I also like how Piccolo was just like, all right, I'm leaving now. And then he can't.
Yeah, he's like, man. He's like, you got to do this for her. You got to do this. And I'm the ultimate nanny.
He is, though. He's the best.
I do kind of feel sorry for his character. That's what he's become.
He even admits it, I think.
Yeah.
But, you know, he's not a Saiyan, so he doesn't have bullshit get stronger all the time powers.
This is true.
There was a line in the episode where Goku's powers were messed up, and Chi-Chi's thought was, are you dead again?
Well, I mean, she's used to it.
I know. I love the way she gave that line. It was so deadpan. She's like, oh, wait, are you just dead again? I mean, like, that happens all the time.
I mean, it's nothing new. They just get the Dragon Balls.
Speaking of that, Dragon Ball Z Kai. Dragon Ball Z Kai, the final chapter, is episode 142. Boo gobbles up Boo, onslaught of a new Majin. In this episode, Piccolo's just like, yeah, kill everyone on Earth, it doesn't matter.
I mean, I don't really like this new Boo. He's too... I mean, he's shitty.
I like his look. I think he looks cool.
I actually thought he was pretty scary. I was actually like, wait, this guy's pretty terrifying. Huh? When he just screams and goes careening into that guy's mouth and just explodes him. I was like, oh shit, what the fuck?
Yeah, I mean, he's a little bit delinquent-y at this point, I think. You know, like, the way he stands and looks and stuff sort of reminds me of, like, a high school anime's, like, delinquent character.
Yeah, he literally looks like if Boo was a bully.
Yeah, I mean, he looks like the kind of guy that would have, you know, bleached blonde hair slicked back and, you know, looking down on everybody and with his hands in his pockets like, hey, I'm the toughest motherfucker here.
Yeah.
So he went from an elementary school student to a high school student.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, he's like the guy who goes to the gym and is like an asshole to everyone.
Oh yeah, he's definitely that guy.
You're trying to do some bench presses, he's over there yelling, produce!
Produce!
I don't even know what that means.
Let me check my gains. Produce!
When he said that, I thought he was talking about Vegeta. But no, they basically said that, like, he wants them to produce the ultimate fighter to fight him.
And yeah. It's like, dude, you made a new form. That's not shit anymore. Fusion literally never mattered, ever. Fusion will probably never have an on-screen win, will it?
I don't know.
I think it gets one. Well, yeah, it gets one, but not the Trunks Goten Fusion.
There's a huge list of things that get one win in Dragon Ball.
Yes. And Trunks and Goten are not one of them.
So we've been spending this entire time being like, fusion time, fusion time, fusion time. And this is the point where the author's just like, nah, Goku time.
As always.
No, Gohan time, because he's still training and whatnot. it's not Goku time yet. It's not Goku time yet.
You make funny joke.
It will be Goku time, but not yet.
It's not even going to be Gohan time for like one millisecond.
I mean, maybe for like an episode or two. But thinking about how things go later, like Supreme Kai is really, really shitty at his job. Just like ridiculously shitty at his job.
Speaking of shitty jobs, Elder Kai.
Yeah, I was going to say, that. I'm so sick of that dude. Like, it's not even funny anymore.
Yeah, he's just a giant pervert.
Well, he's got that part too, but now it's like he's just like reading a funny comic book, yeah, and he's just laughing constantly.
You got to sit there for like, you know, a day and a half.
Yeah, but it's dumb. I mean, like, this is like one of the stupidest things I've seen Toriyama come up with.
He's got to power Gohan up while giving Goten and Trunks time to supposedly look cool.
I would have rather them sit in like silent meditation than like have Elder Kai be goofy.
Well, I mean, that's what they're supposed to be doing.
That's my point. It's like Toriyama thinks it's funny if we have this old guy acting like an idiot. It's like, no, don't do this. This is stupid.
Chi-Chi was totally going to go at Super Buu.
With a mop.
She could have taken him.
That would have lasted negative time.
I believe in her. She could have won.
No.
Yes.
No.
Yes.
All right, let's slip the Band-Aid off. Do you want to talk about...
Oh yeah, JoJo's next. We should talk about JoJo.
In this episode of Kill Me.
I want to die.
Anime makes me want to be dead.
This show specifically.
Yeah, you guys are going a little far, right? It's not good, but it's not that bad. We're not at Tokyo Ghoul level yet. Come on.
You straight up screamed out, my magic is never giving up.
Oh, I mean, during that animation sequence.
Oh, yeah. They were like, we've totally earned the black and white defeat animation in episode 2.
They haven't.
They didn't earn it. It did look good, but they didn't earn it.
It took One Piece so long to get to that point that we didn't even get to see it.
Yeah, and that was a common thing in Gurren Lagann, but then that's What's-His-Face's style. But it looked cool, but yeah, it didn't feel... Like, this wasn't against some great grand villain. It was just some...
It was against the opening chapter villain dude.
Yeah, that guy. That was that guy, yeah.
Mm-hmm. The dude you literally never see again.
Right.
Because they suck so much. Most of this episode is a flashback that is 99% filler in episode 2.
Yeah, I mean they could have combined these two episodes. It's so obvious now. The flashback to when Asta and Yuno were kids didn't need to be a whole episode. You could have condensed that pretty easily.
Yeah, I already been a bit informed about how the anime adaptation is stretching the manga out. And like, is this? I just the notice there was like what 50 episodes total or something, or is it still ongoing?
No, there's like a number, I believe. It's like 50.
Yeah, it's 50.
Kill then me. Why are they stretching that out then?
Because it's the Naruto people.
They should be doing 2-3 episodes a chapter when they can swing it, not,
it's
filler.
It's confusing to me, though, because I kind of thought that this was a series that was ongoing.
It is.
But then why is there a fixed number of episodes?
I think the original order was for 50 episodes. They might wind up ordering more. But I do feel like it's better for, ongoing series to have fixed number of episode, seasons. That way you don't wind up with, crazy amounts of filler. But, that's completely, they're completely defeating the purpose to that.
I think we should probably take the 50 episodes thing with a grain of salt because, A, Black Clover is apparently going to be a tentpole thing. And then,
they're going to try and make it that.
That's what I mean, yeah. And so... And then on top of that, like, it's an ongoing manga, so, and it's Perot, so we know that, like, they deliberately stretch things out because they want to never catch up to the manga. Maybe that's why.
I will say that maybe DeMarco only ordered 50.
Well, let's look into that. I mean, not right now, but we'll look into that and figure out, like, where does this number 50 come from? Maybe it's like the anime have set a goal for themselves to do 50, but you're right. Maybe there's the option to do more seasons later or something. It's weird.
Oh, God, please don't do any more.
I don't want
please,
them to.
No. We didn't even talk about what happened in this episode, mostly because nothing does, but...
It's a flashback.
So some douchebag tries to steal Yuno's amulet, which you just know is going to eventually be revealed as some lost noble family bullshit.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Because what else would it possibly be?
I mean, I wouldn't be able to tell you.
It is either that or a direct, like, the original Wizard King owned it. One of the two.
No, you tell that to Zonic, since he has no problem just counting every single time Wizard King has been mentioned.
Oh, yeah. No, he's going to be keeping count from now on of Wizard King and my magic is never giving up.
No, yeah. I believe he was keeping track of in a world where magic is everything.
Yeah. Well, I mean, they're both part of the same thing.
And he said at the end of the episode that there were 22 Wizard Kings, which is like literally one a minute.
Like, that's just completely ridiculous. Like, Naruto doesn't say, you know, his, you know, believe it thing that much. He never said believe it that much. Luffy's not constantly going on about pirate kings and shit. And,
they I both mean, say Black, they say their catchphrases a lot, but not once
not
a minute.
Not this much. I mean, no. Even Black Lagoon doesn't curse this much.
He's going to be the Sorcery Emperor.
That is somehow even worse sounding than Wizard King.
I liked what they said on Toonami Showdown. They called him the Magical Monarch or something.
That's actually kind of funny.
The Magician Monarch.
The Harry Potter. Harry with an I.
So refresh my memory, if you can. What was the final thing that happened?
He defeated that guy because the flashback was the entire first part of the episode.
Yes, and one of them is going to be the Prestidigitator President.
But what I mean is, what happened? Like, did they get up, or did he walk over to him and then the episode ended? Like, what happened?
I don't know.
I don't remember.
My eyes were bleeding at that point.
I don't care.
Isn't making the show right for us to be this confused already.
I mean, it's not that confusing. It's just, I literally don't give a fuck. I checked out from the first 5 seconds of this show.
No kidding.
Oh, and like the ultimate ability is a sword made out of nothing, I guess.
In a world where magic is everything, one kid will beat people up. Well, this is the Rock Lee story.
He has a book. He has a book because he's some devil something. I don't know.
So
he
powers it. He's got
and
a
his
book,
book. His book turns into a big sword. That's his
for
power.
Reasons that nobody understands.
Oh boy, guys, let's talk about JoJo.
Yes, please.
JoJo's Bizarre Adventure, Stardust Crusaders, Episode 17, The Lovers, Part 2. I told you guys he was going to get it.
He got it.
He got it. He continued to dig his own grave deeper by forcing Totoro to rob a jewelry store.
Oh, that was just so bad.
Getting
beat up
by the jewelry guys.
I'm just like, JoJo going to write that down, and he's going to beat this guy's ass so hard.
And JoJo literally wrote it all down.
Of course he did.
Yeah. Everything written down was literally everything the viewer or reader saw. Like, wasn't even stuff anything that was like out of screen or out of the story beat at the moment. Like,
he just wrote that shit down.
Yep. Yeah.
Like, it was glorious to you know, the build up and the ultimate, the climax of the of what he got coming to him.
His ass beat.
I will say though that like. It doesn't make sense. Like, it's JoJo, but like,
yeah,
this guy, like, see, this his plan never made sense because he took control of I can never remember the old guy's name.
Joseph. How can you not remember Joseph Joestar?
Well, I get them mixed up. I keep saying Jonathan. Anyway, Joseph. So
like two parts with this dude.
Jonathan's the same. It's Joseph Joe.
Jonathan is the one who lost his head and now has Dio's head on his body.
You can almost who they are. I just can't remember which is which name wise.
You can almost say they're both JoJo.
Yeah, they both have Joe in their name. Anyway, so Steely Dan's plan was that he was going to take over Joseph and put one of those buds in his brain, right? Mm-hmm. So he was never going to take over Joseph forever. there were only two outcomes of this. Either Joseph was going to have a brain bud or whatever, and at which point Steely Dan would no longer control him and JoJo would beat the crap out of him. Or he would kill Joseph, at which point JoJo would beat the crap out of him. Like,
well, the plan was that Jotaro would not realize when Joseph died, and so he would either move it to Polnareff or Kakuin, or maybe just Jotaro.
Okay, then there's a third problem, though. The third problem is, of all the people in the world, do you think Jotaro Kujo is going to put up with this shit forever?
No.
Like, at some point, he was going to be like, fuck this. Just beat the shit out of him.
I mean, if you ever moved it over to him, I think Jotaro would have been like, oh, it's in me now? Well, I don't give a shit. I'm beat your ass. I mean, if I'm going to die anyway.
He may be used to doing this to other people who would be a little more like self-conscious or more protective. I think Jotaro would be like, fuck him. I want to punch this guy.
Hey, Kakuin straight up told him, you should have spent more time learning about your enemies.
Yeah,
that's true. It just was a stupid plan, and that just made it all the more glorious that he was going to get defeated, I guess.
God, that beatdown is so satisfying. It's like 20 seconds of punching.
Oh, yes.
Like, it's my aesthetic. Like, seriously, like, when I first, like, saw the video in its Japanese form, like, I couldn't stop watching it. And upon, like, you know, reading it, and then now, you know, watching the dubbed version of it, like, so it's supposed to help accumulate of what came before, but up to now, I think it's, like, this is the kind of stuff that at least defines part three as a whole.
Oh yeah, they really let you stew right before the beatdown. Like, you know it's about to happen, then it's like 5 minutes of, okay, I guess I'll forgive you. Jotaro, I put my stand into that girl's ear! And he's like, no you didn't! And then he stabs him with a knife, and then it's like, I'll give you some money! And then you finally get the beatdown.
Like, you just couldn't quit, but it's like, dude's being beat up in anime is normal, but all the yelling of saying aura, or the fact that the punching just keeps going and going. It's just exactly the kind of shit that makes someone want to, like, tattoo Star Platinum on their leg.
Yeah, it's awesome. Here's a legit question, too, and I know you're going to get a knee-jerk reaction to this answer, but really think about it for a second. Did he die?
No.
You don't think so?
There.
I couldn't tell.
I believe it said he retired. He retired from not being a paraplegic.
he retired from the not being a part of the pavement.
Retired from not being a lump.
You know, I want to say I forgot the actor who plays D.O.D., but like Ray Chase, when they're playing like in the pathetic, like begging form, their voice is like almost completely different. And for the actor who plays Steely, I've never heard him actually sound like that before. And oh my god, the patheticness he was able to emit is just so fucking good.
Like, the best part about this beatdown is that Steely Dan isn't even some super strong dude. He's just a complete asshole.
Yeah, and he kind of plays like, well, yes, I may be the weakest.
Like, it wouldn't be satisfying if...
makes me the strongest!
Like, it wouldn't be satisfying if he was, like, really strong. Like, oh shit, this dude's super threatening. It would have been, you know, he has to be this complete dick. Just the most pathetic person on the face of the earth.
Yeah, Araki knew what he was doing with this character, this arc, whatever.
Yeah, I mean, story-wise, this was actually kind of weak. I mean, as far as, like, it was predictable. Like, you just knew... You knew, like, 5 minutes in what the ultimate outcome of this. It was just enjoyable to watch it unfold.
I mean, they tell you 5 minutes into the first episode that this dude is going to get the shit beat out of him.
Yeah.
Because they all just walk up to him and be like, you're going to fucking die. And then at that point, it's just simmer.
Yeah.
Put it on the stove and let it simmer.
No, I mean, sometimes the build-up to something you know is coming is still really good.
Yeah, it's just all how it's in the execution. And, like, all this stuff with them, like, shrinking down and going into Jonathan's head, it's all just...
Joseph.
Joseph, or whatever. Joseph's head. It's all just sort of, like, turning the wheels. It's just like, okay, we got to do this. But you know ultimately what's going to happen.
Yeah. I mean, you're going to get his ass beat.
I do think this two-parter is basically, here's why people like Jotaro. Because he's this.
Yeah, like, that one defining moment of, like, the whole B-Town's, like, even to a casual person be like, if something about it just clicks with them, it's like one of the coolest shit ever.
You know,
especially when it's like you see like the first shot of the beatdown, like you can barely see Jotaro as he just directly stares, like in a most commanding demeanor.
Well, I mean, like it's also too the fact that Jotaro doesn't like get mad, like he yeah. the whole time he's just like taking it and doesn't get upset. He's just like, I'm writing this down. Making a note. Okay. All right. Checking it twice, you know, and it's like, and even like one time he's even just sort of chuckling. It's like, oh yeah. Okay. I see. we'll make a note of that. That's good. That's the best stuff. Cause he's just like, you just know he's holding it all inside so that he can explode.
Oh yes.
Because that's what stands are for. No longer need to express whatever when you just have your ghost self do it for you.
So this is by far the longest beatdown of this type that we will see for a while. There are others that are also really good, but this is the best one, I think. Not to say that it's all downhill from here, but this is the standard.
I mean, I would imagine this is probably the scene that probably kind of helped put JoJo in the cultural map in general.
Maybe.
I mean, much fun as, you know, we've had with part one and two, like, I mean, I'm now starting to see something about part three that helped JoJo become more popular beyond, like, what was it, part one just Fist of the North Star combined with Dracula, and part two was, oh yeah, Indiana Jones.
I think yeah. I've liked them all, and I do think this was a really good episode, two-parter. I don't know if I would say, like, it's my favorite moment or anything. I just think it's really good. I mean, I can think of a lot of other amazing moments that have happened in the past, you know, year.
So, shall we talk about Gundam?
Sure.
Mobile Suit Gundam, Blooded Orphans, Episode 33, Sovereign of Mars. In this episode, Michaelis is like, yo, stand with me and I'll make you guys the rulers of Mars. We're definitely getting out of this well.
Yeah, I mean, that's totally not going to turn out badly.
And Orga's just like, sounds good.
Yeah, this well, doesn't sound like I'm going to get betrayed.
He had the meeting. He had a meeting with his family. You know, like just like in The Godfather, he's like yes. listening to all his people. What do you think?
But the problem is that he surrounded himself with dudes like Mikazuki, who will just yeah. do whatever, and some other yeah. dudes who think the exact same way. And they're no, Maribitz has given up at this point of saying, like, maybe we shouldn't take on all of Gjallarhorn for the promise of all of Mars.
I mean, he doesn't really have anyone there to challenge him. Mikazuki's basically there to carry out orders.
That's what I'm saying. You know, that's why it's like The Godfather. It's like that scene where Takaki goes, like they're asking everybody, and then Takaki says, I'm going to leave or whatever. That scene, it was just like a scene from The Godfather. You've got Orga at the head of the table, and he's just yeah. listening to his minions bounce ideas off of him, but he's already decided, and he knows what he's yeah. going to do. He's the head of the family.
Yeah. I mean, and there's no one there to challenge him at this point.
Yeah. I'm taking it to the extreme. I don't think he's really, like, mean in that way. I don't think his character is that bad. But I'm just saying it just reminds me of a scene from The Godfather.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think it's definitely meant to, like, sort of draw resemblance to sort of those mafia-style, you know, movies and shows yeah. and stuff. I mean, you know, how they dress, how they operate. I think not having Biscuits there anymore is going to bite these guys in the ass because he was, like, the one guy that would say shit to Orga, like, hey, maybe this ain't a great idea, Orga.
Well, they're sure not going to listen to that one woman. What's her name?
Maribit. She's mm-hmm. completely given up. Like, remember last season, she'd be like, guys, maybe we don't have to be... And then this season, she's like, yeah, go kill him, I guess. Takaki's like, I'd prefer to not die, thank you very much.
Yeah.
He's the smartest person in this room.
Yeah, I mean, you know, what the hell is he going to stick around for? He knows they're all dead.
And then, like, Mikazuki's like, all right, you're not going to look out for the family, then we're going to go. And it was like, and then somebody else comes by, and he's like, actually, he was being nice to you. That's just how he talks.
Yeah.
Yep. A talky episode.
Mm-hmm.
You always forget, like, 90% of what they talked about.
Yeah, I guess really, like you said, you already said what had to be said, like, they've been presented with the offer to become the rulers of Mars if they follow what's-his-face.
Not Char.
Yeah.
Or the previous Not Char, because there's a different Not Char now.
And then they're like,
they're both Not Char.
If we do this, then we're no longer like this little group. Suddenly everyone's going to see us as a big target.
And no one really plans out that far ahead.
Yeah, they kind of like, oh, we should have done a chain command, but they didn't really necessarily like really emphasize how much of a screw up that was to begin with. Because you figured maybe they've been smart enough to like, oh yeah, let's have like multiple people make sure everything's in check. But like, someone seems rather passive rather than like having the characters acknowledge just how much of a grave mistake not having that to exist in their organization is.
Was it this episode or the previous episode that Kudelia was talking to Beardy?
I think it was this episode.
Yeah. Well, he showed up.
Yeah, but yeah, and I remind you of that Gallahorn girl was like, oh gosh, Mr. Bad Beard Dude, he seemed like a nice guy. I'm like, whatever.
I mean, everyone in Gallahorn is fucked. So of course they're like, oh yeah, the dude with the horrible, terrible dude with the beard, what a nice guy.
Whether she's like superhuman or just gifted pilot. Or that's something we'll have to find out later on.
Yeah, I kind of feel like they haven't explained her yet, so.
Do you guys want to talk about Hunter Hunter?
Sure.
Hunter Hunter episode 76, Reunion and Understanding. In this episode, Ging is still a dick.
In the opening, this Chimera Ant arc that everybody has been hyping about for the longest time. It's opening, or has got me like, whoa!
Is that a good thing or a bad thing?
In this case, good, because the introduction is already like crazy as hell. And that's what I would describe this, kind of seem to hint at what this arc is going to be like.
I'll tell you this much, I have no idea what to expect right now. Like, I know nothing about this.
Oh, you're going to have some fun.
All I know is that there's a bunch of new characters, and there's these big ants.
Yep.
And that's it. That's all I know.
And the ants got human teeth.
Yeah. It has like a girl's voice, but I don't know anything else. Like, when I watch that opening, it is a cool looking opening. I mean, I just see a bunch of new characters and I don't know anything else. I can't make it out. It's not like York New, where there was like, or whatever, the tower thing. It was pretty obvious what was going to happen there. They were going to be in a tournament, but this, I just don't know what's going to happen.
It's the most shonen of all the arcs.
It's also the least shonen of all the arcs in a way.
Structure-wise, though, it's the most shonen.
Yes, structure-wise, it's the most shonen, but execution-wise, it's probably the least shonen.
Yes. So you can expect a lot of 1v1 fights with, you know, these ant dudes.
So the episode starts out and we learn that it's not Gene that was sitting there with the fishing pole, it was some other guy.
Yes.
Kite. Yeah, and he has like some kind of thing that turns into a gun.
His power is hilarious.
It's like basically a wheel or something.
Yeah, basically he's got like a bunch of different weapons, and when he does his Nen, one of them gets summoned at random, and then he's got to use that weapon in the fight, whether it's useful to him or not.
Yeah, it makes sense.
Before he can choose another.
It totally feels like one of those restrictive Nen abilities where, like,
yeah.
if something, you have to get something bad in your restriction to get something powerful out of it. Yeah.
Yeah. All of his weapons are ridiculously powerful, but they're all also ridiculously specialized.
Yeah. But anyway, so this guy used to be a friend of Gon's dad, actually was a student of Gon's dad. We get a scene where apparently Gon had met this guy when he was younger, and they believe maybe it was all part of Gene's plan to have this guy ultimately help Gon.
No, he's just a dick.
Yeah, no, he's a dick. Yeah, he just didn't want to see Gon unless he came alone.
Oh, that's right. That's right. He rigged Greed Island so that if he took a certain card, if he used a certain card to find him, that it would go to this other guy instead if he brought someone with him. Yeah. I didn't even really think that was that dicky. It was just sort of like...
very shy. Dicky.
Yeah. And the girl, the cyber girl, was kind of saying that. She was like, did you really do the right thing?
Was the twin named Elena Lana or something?
Yeah, I think so.
Kite also tells us that Ging is apparently so awesome that he can get away with everything. Because he's just that awesome.
Supposedly the best hunter in the world, so...
Also ants!
Ants!
We've seen an ant, and we saw a little ant get stepped on or shot. But I haven't seen any other ants.
Other than the opening.
So, yeah, except for the opening. And then there was that one bumper that showed a bunch of them attacking a town or something. We haven't seen that scene yet. But yeah, the episode in the middle and then at the end shows some humanoid ant in a cave eating fish. And being like, I gotta give birth to something.
The king.
I gotta give birth to the king because I'm the queen.
Yeah, it's kind of weird.
And the guy was the kite guy was like, you don't understand. That wasn't just an ordinary ant. That was a chimera ant. And I'm like, okay. I guess that'll get explained.
Yep.
One of the bumps also showed a talking koala.
Yep.
And that's not an ant. So
there's a bunch of crazy designs of other
characters. For the arc to be called the Chimera Ants, I saw a lot of characters that weren't ants. So I don't really know. There was also, and a cameo from cat boy from Helsing Ultimate. What was his name? Heisenberg or something? I can't remember. A character who looks like him showed up in the opening.
You know, I've actually kind of recently noticed some avatars in social media with that character.
Hmm.
Oh, yeah. People were, complaining about, it being retconned or being removed from the first episode, but personally, that didn't really bother me.
Yeah, Kite was in the first chapter of the manga.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I didn't even know that.
They cut him out for some reason when they did it, and so they had to go back and do a bit of a flashback and whatnot here.
Hmm.
The first episode got me into the character in the show right away, so it was didn't feel like it was crucial information missing from his, or Kite's exclusion.
I guess it would have been neater in a kind of Oda foreshadowing way to have had that character show up, but other than that, it wasn't important.
Yeah, I mean, in a foreshadowing way, that would have been great, but this sort of means that they took that away and they had to go back and, sort of hit that up.
Yeah.
I guess you can say the damage was minimal.
So, you want to talk about Lupin?
Sure.
Lupin the Third, Part 4, Episode 22, From Japan with Love. Yes, they're in Japan suddenly.
Did someone say this was an OAV?
No, I believe next episode is an OVA episode. I believe this episode is actually straight up from the regular series.
Yeah.
Wow. That's surprising. Because this feels like a one-off direct-to-video adventure.
As opposed to most Lupin episodes. Oh, wait.
Yeah, I guess. But, this is not even in Paris, though, or wherever, France.
It's still anime.
Yeah. But it also introduced, this antagonist, and they literally call him the Da Vinci of Japan.
Akechi, I think.
Yep, it's Akechi.
Akechi!
Yeah, he had like a little like sidekick and basically a joke.
Yep. And this episode plays out like every other Lupin episode. It's like, we caught Lupin. No, we didn't. This guy was a disguise. Except he wasn't. It was actually this other, the guy who we thought wasn't a disguise was the disguise. Twists.
Yeah. There's no way Fujiko could have hit her chest in that Zenigata disguise.
I mean, she managed it, though. She's a master of disguise.
Yeah. That's breaking the laws of physics, I think.
That was a enjoyable episode, and we're not really talking about it.
Lupin doesn't really have anything, any depth to it.
But it the most fun. Interesting thing to come out of Lupin is Action Da Vinci.
Yes.
There's something to be said about that.
Well, I mean, it's also the fact there's constantly double swerves, you know, like,
yeah.
What, like, this one was particularly hilarious. Well, I'm still confused as to which Zenigata was Fujiko and which wasn't.
The one that was locked in the bathroom.
Was Fujiko.
Yes.
That's what I thought. Okay. Because I'm like, that is a brilliant plan. This guy got hoisted by his own petard. He's like, a woman couldn't possibly outsmart me. Wait, you mean a woman outsmarted me?
Yeah, I wonder how his female sidekick felt about those comments.
Then he takes off his, you know, wig and he's Saitama.
You know, I actually did think of that too for a moment. I guess that show really did, like, got people thinking of bald people of that show now.
I don't think this is post One Punch Man, though.
Akechi is supposed to be the super handsome young detective, but the truth is that he doesn't have any hair.
Yeah, I wasn't thinking like that was their show's intent. I'm just referring to like the cultural osmosis.
Oh, just that you guys both thought that he looked like Saitama. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, like the bald guy.
It's a sheen of the baldness.
It is kind of the Saitama. It's like personifies that for us now. Yeah. But yeah, I've got nothing else about this. I mean, you kind of covered it. They guess what? They got away.
Oh, I think it's kind of easy to forget that the whole cast is like Japanese, even so they're club charting all around the world and don't often dress except in Gyomon. But yeah, it's technically interesting. They're all like back in their homeland.
Yeah.
Also, Fujiko with black hair.
Brown.
Whatever. I don't know, guys. I got nothing.
It took what was, I don't know, was it Base, I think? It was like, had to comment about, you know, Fujiko when that final scene about seeing Mount Fuji. Had to take it all the way. That surprisingly, Lupin didn't.
Like, I have to think he said that to her 100 times before.
Like, not to mention the very obvious joke. Somebody in real life had in our forum had to point out.
What, you mean about her Mount Fujis?
Oh, her being a strong woman, like Mount, as strong as Mount Fuji.
She got a pair of them, too.
Do we each want to say one word each about Naruto?
No.
Naruto Shippuden, episode 183, Naruto Outbreak, World War Z.
I want to die.
Or the movie Outbreak? Actually, I think there were some scenes that actually kind of reminded me of that movie.
All I'll say is bring on the cat people.
Yes. And also bring on the cat people in Outlaw Star.
Yay.
Because fuck Naruto.
Gata, gata!
Outlaw Star, episode 14, Final Countdown. In this episode, it's the one with the bomb.
It is.
They have to defuse a bomb. Why is it every time some terrorist dude is like, I've planted a bomb, and etc., and I'm presenting myself as cute cartoon character in everything?
They also called him the Mad Bomber.
Gene, all you have to do is touch him and say, I caught the bomber.
Exactly.
He did that.
Yeah, I like seeing Suzuka and Aisha kind of break off and like kind of do a little sleuthing on their own.
Yeah.
Kicking some ass.
Because they've literally never been in the ship.
Together, right?
Like,
yeah.
We're halfway through the series and the entire crew has not been in the Outlaw Star together once.
No, not at the same time. I mean, that's coming, though.
I know, but still.
The slow burn.
I mean, this is a really slow burn.
Yeah. It's just the way the show is. I'm not bent out of shape about Suzuka not being on the ship. She doesn't contribute much anyway.
Well, that's a problem. I mean, I know it's kind of an arbitrary thing to say, to be on about, like, well, did they all get in the ship this episode? No, this episode sucks.
It's not really. I mean, it's basically they're defusing a bomb and, oh yeah, and then like for some reason they use the opening song like in the episode.
Oh yeah, it's playing from the ship.
It's so weird.
It's still a good opening.
He defuses the bomb and then it comes up and it says, congratulations.
Congratulations!
Congratulations.
I can't remember anything else from this episode.
The animation was oddly fluid.
Oh yeah.
It was an apartment. Like nothing was going on, yet it seemed there was a couple like additional frames for some reason.
The whole episode had it actually. I was kind of noticing it. Like even like little shots of when they were on the bridge of the Outlaw Star and a character would like turn their head and motion to someone and it was like 24 frames per second. It was like really smooth and to the point too where like, you know, sometimes when shows will have like really fluid animation, but then the characters will start to get off model and start to look a little weird. And it was a little bit of that too. Jim especially looked like he was like, his face wasn't quite right, but yet he would be like blinking and it would be like, you know, film quality animation for some reason. It was weird. I don't know why they would put so much effort into animating the movements in this episode, but I guess maybe they, you know, they gave some young animator this episode and say, hey, go for it, you know, because there wasn't like a lot of action or anything. It was just them like looking at screens mostly.
High intensity screen looking.
Yeah. Yep. But it looked cool. Like it looked good. It just was didn't need to be that way. But that's fine.
Mm-hmm. Anything else about this episode?
Jim liked using different languages to hope they didn't blow up.
Oh yeah, he was like doing some kind of prayer or something.
Why?
I mean, he praying in everything. He like that guy from The Mummy that, you know, when the mummy's coming for him, he's like, oh, I'm gonna be Jewish. I'm gonna be Christian. I'm gonna be. I'm gonna just do whatever it takes.
Please save me, non-denominational God.
In the future, people will still be like, yep, I know how to do this. I've seen them in movies.
Yeah, I've seen plenty of TV shows with bombs.
Like, I kind of figure that now. In the future, you think maybe wireless connections would be like the norm, but I don't know, maybe. Even then, it'd be like sometimes a good old wire is still the most sufficient if you want to like make something quick and dirty right away.
Anything else about Toonami?
Do we have to keep watching Black Clover?
Yes.
Oh.
We must all suffer together, B-dubs.
Makes me sad.
I don't know, man. Like, maybe this is a good bet to say that it could be worse, right?
That's what I think.
I mean, how?
I don't know. I mean, it's
potentially your GXP.
Then again,
like I said earlier, it's not good, but it's not like Unicorn. Come on.
I mean, at least Unicorn was pretty. You know, like it was good to look at.
But this doesn't look bad either. It just doesn't.
It can't be as bad as it can't be that bad after two episodes. But I'm completely checked out.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I have a feeling it's going to get way worse, though.
I want to see a few more characters show up, and hopefully there will be one or two of them that's entertaining. I think right now we're stuck with just the two pro tags, and they're both kind of, you know, bleh.
Well, I mean, there's other people there, and none of them are any good.
No, we talked about this last week. None of these other characters in this first two episodes matter. They all go away. Oh. Only Asta and Yuno stick around, and then there's like a whole other group of characters who show up. And mm-hmm. I think maybe one of those or a couple of those might be interesting. So I'm going to wait it out and see.
I'm going to keep watching, if only so I can complain about it here.
I noticed that some people were commenting about, like, I don't know, it was episode 8. They're like, oh, yeah, look at these other characters are finally here. And like, yeah, now it's getting good or something. But I'm like, so this is like another situation where like other characters would hold on to the show?
Because well, if there's anything we should realize about this show is that it is aping off Naruto. And just like in Naruto, yeah. The other characters are more interesting than the protagonist.
Yeah, that's what could, and I've heard maybe does happen, is that, yeah. Okay, we introduced the squad, and they're all much, much better.
Right.
If and that's
I think
the
that's
case,
possible.
I'd still recheck that, because I'm, like, done with that shit. Putting quality in there with the supposed crux of the show, like, we have enough of that shit with Naruto, it is. I don't fucking want another fucking show where, like, what is supposed to be important is not important. So,
yeah, I don't blame people for not wanting to watch it. I just feel like, I don't know about you guys, but if I'm going to do this show, I've got to talk about it.
Yeah.
But, I mean, but I also do believe, honestly, and just being no mm-hmm. joke, these two episodes aren't as bad as some other shows that we've watched recently. Like, yeah. I think that this series could get mediocre. And I say that with, like, as a good thing. Unicorn was nigh unwatchable by me. Like, I couldn't stomach that thing.
This show could still hit Blue Exorcist.
Yeah. Blue Exorcist was fine. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Blue Exorcist was not good, like, but it wasn't terrible.
Dimension W started out okay and then got kind of unwatchable. This show might be unwatchable and then it might get okay. I don't know.
Well, it does also have that tentpole factor where, like, it's trying to be pushed as the next big anime.
Oh, God, I hope it's not the next big thing.
I hope we don't have to continue dealing with Black Clover for years to come.
I mean, SEO is bad enough as it is.
Oh, God, there's that, too. That's a good problem. Oh, yeah, we're probably going to get that within the next year and a half.
No, aren't they doing a movie? So we might not actually wind up getting that one.
No, they're doing two different TV series.
I thought they were turning one of them into a movie.
No, I don't think so.
Oh, God. Oh,
well, come
God,
on, guys. Honestly,
like, two shows?
If DeMarco knocked on your door and said, hey, I'll give you a choice. We can either keep going with Black Lagoon or we can get a new season of SAO. Which
keep
would you
going do? With Black Lagoon.
Black Lagoon.
Really?
You, well, said Black Lagoon, not Black Clover.
Oh, yeah. I'm sorry. I mean, you know what I meant.
Yes, I would trade Black Clover for SAO and for a new season of SAO in a second.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Second. I'm not there yet.
Oh, come on.
Oh, just based on our previous quote-unquote fun habit watching SAO, because SAO was terrible, but nobody skipped SAO.
Because it was terrible.
There were parts of it, too. There were, like, aspects of SAO where you could see quality seeping in. And you're like, oh, the music is really good. And, oh, my God, that animation was really good. It's like, this is just all kind of mediocre. Black Clover, I mean.
Like, people are already noticeably just leaving for Black Clover.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, they pushed the ratings?
Ratings, but who cares? Fuck the Nielsen ratings. They don't
seriously.
They don't matter.
Yeah, I mean, DeMarco pretty much came out and said, hey, we don't care about those because they don't count, you know, streams and DVR and all that shit.
Right.
Like, DeMarco's bosses don't mind?
I think they have a different metric they look at this point.
It's because the actual content producers now have much better ways of tracking how many people are watching their stuff than Nielsen, who is extremely limited.
Yeah, they're saying that ratings matter, but the Nielsens aren't a good metric to follow.
Yeah.
Right.
So Time Warner is finally wising up?
I suspect that people are watching a lot more of Toonami in other places other than TV.
Yeah. I mean, there's a bunch of people in the thread that, you know, watch through a stream. You know, like, they have access to cable account login, and maybe they don't have the cable box themselves, so they log in and they watch a stream.
Right.
Yeah. I do that sometimes too.
People have been complaining about these TV conglomerates for the longest time about relying so much on Nielsen, but does this mean they're finally wising up?
Well, I think they all try to. It's just they're trying to catch up with the technology and the times. Yeah. It's hard to track this stuff.
I mean, there's a reason we more or less stopped posting that stuff in the thread. I mean, the ratings were like, eh, you're getting an extra half hour.
Yeah, like, man, nothing's getting over a million. Extra half hour, man. Okay, sure.
I think too, a lot more. Well, I mean, the ratings matter, but like, the ratings are just an indicator that they use to sell advertising or to get sponsorships. Yeah. And so, as long as they're getting advertisers and sponsorships, the rest of it just works out.
Yeah, and it's also, you know, we have to consider the time of night. You know, I'm pretty sure Toonami's just winning the entire block simply because there's nothing else on that time on a Saturday night.
Right. I don't know if this is true, but it's always been my feeling that if it's like late Saturday night, Sunday morning, evening hours, it's like that's the TV event that's happening every week. There isn't another thing at that time.
Yeah, I mean, occasionally there'll be like a fight or something, but, you know, that's every other, you know, every couple of months.
Right.
You know, it's usually just Toonami and not much else is going on. So, you know, you get any kind of sustained ratings and it's probably seen as a win.
Can we talk also briefly about does that commercial for the monster in a box toy keep showing up?
It shows one time during Super, I think.
Yeah.
Oh, I guess that would make sense. If any of the Toonami shows are going to be watched by kids, it's going to be Super.
It almost feels like a mistake. It's like somebody is like, whoops, we put that commercial in the wrong time slot.
Cray creatures! They snort! They fart! They shit!
Yeah. I don't really understand it, but you know.
I'm going to be king of the crate creatures.
King of the loot boxes.
Oh, God.
Anyway, that'll about do it for this episode of the Toonami Gaff Podcast. Thank you, BBBoy20.
No problem.
Thank you, C-Kohler.
No problem.
Thank you, B-Dubs.
Bye.
We'll see you guys next week for episode 84, our last regular episode of the year. Because we have Yeah, because after that we have, I believe, a Super Marathon and a Cowboy Bebop Marathon.
Oh, yeah. I completely forgot. I made plans that weekend.
Absolutely nothing else new because, you know, even the marathons are the low.
Yeah. Oh, if anyone's going to be out in New York the weekend of the 30th, we're all watching Street Fighter. So, you know, hit up the thread, the New York era thread, and come on out, you know, get drunk, watch Street Fighter.
Alrighty.
There's a Street Fighter tournament or something?
No, we're watching the DVD. We got a bar letting us use the back rooms, and we're going to watch Street Fighter.
The Jean-Claude Van Damme movie?
Yeah.
Okay.
I have no idea why, but we're all going to get drunk and watch Street Fighter. So if any of you guys happen to be in town, come on down.
Well, I live like the other side of the United States.
Yeah, no, so you're probably not going to be able to make it.
I'll have to pass.
Anyway, that'll be it for this episode. Thank you, everyone, and we'll see you guys next week. I completely forgot.
Yes, we're over now.
Awkward pause. Good night. Later.